Welcome to our podcast. It's a privilege again to be able to speak into your life. And I just pray that your heart would be open and prepared to receive a word of encouragement, refreshment, and guidance. God bless you. Today I want to talk about the interpreter. I want to talk about the importance of the interpreter. Interpreter is defined as one who translates for parties, conversing in different languages, one who explains and expounds. Interpreters have two qualities. Number one, they've mastered their own native language. And secondly, they have a complete mastery of the language they're interpreting, which implies understanding the nuances, the culture, the context. An interpreter is very, very important in our lives. Did you know that most of life cannot be discovered without an interpreter present? Even in the scriptures, we read words like, "And his name shall be called Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. See, when the interpreter puts his finger on the page of scripture and interprets something, he was crucified at a place called Golgotha, which being interpreted is the place of the skull. You go, oh. He sent him to the pool of Siloam, which being interpreted is sent. And God used Barnabas, which being interpreted is son of consolation. Do you see how important interpretation is in your life and even in the mess in your life right now? Someone, your best friend is someone who can come as an interpreter and put his or her finger on the issues and say, "Oh, that's not a root, that's just a fruit. Don't worry about the fruits, let's just deal with the root and then all that rest of that stuff will die." We need interpreters in our life. Fathers. We need fathers in our life that understand the language of daddy and fatherhood to come into our lives and interpret what it means to be the interpretive bridge between what a father is. Some of you don't even know how to be a daddy because you never had a daddy because you didn't have an interpreter that could come and bridge that reality and say, "I know the language of father. Let me teach you." No, daddies, don't talk like that. No, don't talk like that anymore to your baby. Daddies, don't act like that. Don't act like that anymore to your baby. Most anything in life is unintelligible without an interpreter. Call them a mentor. But I like the word interpreter. I love this text, Matthew 1:23, which being interpreted is. Is that beautiful? Interpreters are important. They're not usual people. They're not normal people. You know, your best friend in life right now is the interpreter that can come and make sense of where you are in your life right now. The person that has the word you need to hear right now is the most important person in your life. Well, loved one, God is calling all of us to become interpreters of his son. He's calling each of us to enter into an intimacy with Jesus where we are, as the Apostle John, so close to him, so aware of who he is, that we can take of the mysteries that we've received through intimacy with him and go out and properly interpret him to our dying world. Loved one, people don't need religion. They need interpreters who will fully tell out and draw out and bring out all the nuances of the glory of Christ. I had the privilege of interviewing John F. Kennedy's secretary, Evelyn Lincoln. You know, it's just something to talk to someone who is an intimate of a great person. Evelyn Lincoln knew what JFK was thinking, what he would think in 10 minutes, anticipate all of his needs, and would be there on the corner with the document he needed to sign. She could finish his sentences for him. Talking to her was like talking to a wizard. All the biographers on JFK, she went to me, she said, "Craig, they're a bunch of parrots. All they do is parrot what the last book said." She was an interpreter. You know, she was the only one on earth that could read his handwriting. To the day of her death, they sent manila folders from the JFK library every week, stacked up on her table because she was the only human being that could interpret his handwriting. No one else. That's a unique place. When you're so intimate with someone that you are truly able to, in tone, body language, and content, interpret for them, That's what we're talking about today. Not a parrot. God loves you. A big difference between a parrot and an interpreter. When the Lord Jesus came in his earthly ministry, all the religious leaders were parrots. Rabbi Hillel once said in Bava Batra 126b, parrots. But God the Son, second person of the Holy Trinity, was the interpretation of the Father in flesh, the only one intimate from eternity who could tell out all of his heart, all of his thoughts, all of his counsels, all of the depths of his secrets in flesh. John 14, 9, Jesus said, have I been with you so long, Philip, and you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Do you know there's two ways to deal with situations? One is descriptively and one is denotatively. Let's say that you write home to your parents and you say, Mother, I've met a beautiful young lady. Oh, she's beautiful. She has blonde hair, sort of dusty blonde hair, and she's got a little, got just this little dimple when she smiles, and she's so cute, and her teeth are just so cute. And, you know, descriptively, you could go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never come to an end. Or you can just take her home and say, Mama, here she is, and just denote, point to her. There she is in all of her cuteness and magnificence, and look at how she walks across the room. Oh, you see, there's no end to description. Sometimes you have to point to someone. And Christ our Lord is the supreme interpreter of the Father. Did you know the Father needed someone to interpret him to the world? One of the richest texts is John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, God's only Son, the Beloved, the one who is closest to the Father's heart, has made him known. Oh, loved one, the only one that had a command of the native language of deity is the Son. No one has seen God at any time. Yeah, the Bible describes visions and angelic appearances. And well, what about Abraham? Saw three angels and one was called Jehovah 19 times. Yeah, veiled. Manifestations, all veiled. No one's ever seen God face to face. But the only begotten, full of grace and truth, who eternally was with the Father, he alone can tell him out. Fully. Fully and completely. Did you know that 7% of your communication is verbal? 38% is your voice. 55% nonverbal. Most of all the communication we get from you is watching your eyes when you're talking, your hands, the way they move when you're talking, and only 7% of the content gets across to us. All the rest is everything else. Turn the preachers on TV, put the mute button on, and figure out what they're trying to say. You know, that's, and you just look. I'm not judging anybody. I'm doing it to politicians too. Right? What are they saying? What are they? See, yeah. We need foreign things turned into our mother language. We need to understand God. No one has seen God at any time. Only Christ has interpreted him and exegeted him. That literally means to lead him out. The New American Standard Bible says, only Christ explained him. The King James says, only Christ has declared him. The Holman Christian Version says, only Christ has revealed him. The Net Bible says, only God has made him known in total. The revelation of the Father in time was the unveiling of his eternal heart through his Son. Jesus Christ. Guess who wrote John 1:18? John. You're quick, you're tracking, I'm telling you. Saw that blaze of genius in your eye. Of the thousands, he picked 70. Out of the 70, he picked 12. Out of the 12, he picked 3, Peter, James, and John. And out of the 3, he had John, the closest disciple to him, laid his head on his breast when they would recline to eat, heard the heartbeat of the God-man. The one apostle who died a natural death John, who was given custody of his mother at the cross. Guess who took care of Mama to her death? John. Guess who wrote the high gospel of deity? John chapter 1, the prologue to his gospel. My favorite gospel, my favorite chapter in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Nothing exists that he did not make. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Isn't that beautiful? John was closer to him and never saw him sin in word, thought, and deed. And he knew this is Almighty God, that the only true interpreter of the Father's heart. Yes, the Old Testament can look harsh, loved one. It's not a different God. It's just that signs and wonders and even displays of glory in the earth can never show you the heart of the Father until the Son comes forth and says, let me interpret him for you. He loves you. You're his beloved. And then he dies on the cross. He says, let me show you the heart of heaven. The universe is magnificent. But behind it is something so much more precious. And only Jesus could interpret him for us. Forget the religious people that have offended you and that don't know God from a stump in the ground. But look at his Son. In the incarnation, we have nothing short of the closest acquaintance of the Father, the only one who can speak of his nature and reveal his perfections and reveal his purposes and his counsels and his covenants and his word and his thoughts on every matter. And Jesus says, have you been so long with me and you don't realize? In his tone, oh, wouldn't it be something to have been with him and to see? The red letter editions don't show you his tone in body language, the inflection of the way he carried himself. He's not angry. He's not strange. He's not weird. He's altogether lovely in all things. He loves you with an everlasting love. So when you were with Jesus and you saw him with the tax collectors and the whores and the outcasts and those that were broken in life who knew they were broken, he spent all of his time as a physician showing kindness and mercy. Never once does he raise his voice to broken people. Never once. Only to the religious who were full of themselves, full of pride, parrots of his word. Have you ever heard somebody teach the Bible, but there's just something wrong with the tone? Oh, loved one, I can't tell you. The Father needed an interpreter. He sent him. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Oh my God. When the fullness of time had come, God, the second person of the Trinity, steps out and goes, hi, I made you, but I love you. You can approach me. Should we avert our eyes, O Lord? No. You look at me. Should we do something religious, Your Majesty? No, please don't. Please don't. What would you do if your kids got, every time they saw you, fell at your feet and slinging snot all over your shoes? And, oh, Daddy, I'm unworthy. Oh, Daddy, I can't look at you. Oh, Daddy. That gets old. After it's like, okay. Okay. I'm here. Look here. We need interpreters in our lives, and thank God, may God be praised that in the fullness of time, he sent forth the one supreme interpreter of all of his dreams and hopes and longings. God Almighty. Job called him an umpire. Oh, that there was an umpire who could stand between us. One who was fully man, who could put his arm on man, and one who was fully God, who could put his hand on God and bring the two together. Well, guess what? Here he is, born a little baby thing that made a woman cry, but he's the umpire, the one true interpreter, the one who can fully exegete the Father in tone, language, content, body language, can bring what's on the inside out because he's the only one that's been on the inside forever. You don't trust interpreters, do you, that don't know the person they're trying to interpret? You have to be very talented to be an interpreter. When I was in Nigeria, I taught at a seminary where there was, in Korean, everything I said was being translated into Korean. You got to know the language you're translating into. You've got to know the culture. You've got to live in the culture. You've got to have every nuance down, because parrots, bad interpreters, will always give and relay what you gave in a flat way. I've had bad interpreters. But you get one that's anointed, that's flowing with you. They capture your heart, the soul behind the words, the meaning of the words, the expression on your face, and they convey that. I must be swinging around a lot when I preach, because in Nigeria, the guy was just doing this. He was swinging around too. I thought, what's his problem? Well, actually, he was just doing me. That was his problem. But he got the nuance. He got everything. You know, he captured it all. It was Craig Johnson wrapped up in a smelly sock. All of it there, right there. Given out for whatever it was worth. Loved one, the father needed an interpreter. Praise God for his son. But let me tell you something, dear one. This is the point. Listen. His son needs interpreters if he is to be known in the world, so that he can draw men, women, and boys and girls to himself. Will you be that interpreter? Can you say, Craig, I don't know what I have. I've got very little, but listen, but you can be intimate with him. You may not have gifts, talents, abilities. You may be ugly and your mama dresses you funny, but you know what? You have full access to the heart of Jesus. You can be as intimate with him as you want to be, as close to him as you want to be. And that intimacy, that commitment to know him and to walk with him, will create in you a new sense of interpreting his will and his plans for people. All I do all week is interpret. Well, when I was 14, I did something so nasty. I think God's been cursing me ever since. No, honey, that's not his heart for you. Let me interpret the reality of it. He loves you. He died on the cross. If you doubt your value, look at the cross. His blood covers every sin, including that sin when you were 14. Interpreting. Craig the interpreter. That's what I am. That's what you are, hopefully. And hopefully, people are looking through the window to eternity, and they're not getting locked at the window. You're not supposed to see a window. You're supposed to see through a window. Selah. I'll leave that right where it is. We don't need to see you. We need to see through you to him. Should have taken the offering about 20 minutes ago. Christ needs interpreters if we're to show him as he really is, that men and women and boys and girls would rise up and follow him. You. And John's intimacy allowed him to be able to write. He was the creator of everything, and I never saw anything inconsistent in his character. And by the way, he loves you. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of someone misinterpreting you. Someone that claims to know you, and somebody claims to quote you, like a parrot. You may have said that one thing, but they don't know you. I had someone telling me about me, didn't know I was Craig Johnson, was telling me who Craig Johnson was one time. That got a little good to me. I went, really? Tell me more. Interpret. Uh-huh. Well, you know, he's this, that, and the other. I went, oh, really, is he? Huh. Boy, you've been misinterpreted before. I can promise you that. You can be married to someone for 20 years and them not know who you are and misinterpret you. Don't make me preach now. I sat with Evelyn Lincoln. Now I just kill myself almost, because she had just all kinds of Kennedy stuff laying around. Would have just given it to me if I asked her. Found out later, a guy named Bob White came along and asked her for everything. She gave him everything. So much for politeness when you're dealing with the president's secretary. In the future, I'll ask for doodles or a pen or something. But Ms. Lincoln just said, nah. I said, what was Lyndon Johnson like? What was Bobby like? What was their relationship like? I went over all the historical questions, but asked to an insider that was intimate and was an interpreter. And boy, do you get insight. Oh, my Lord, tasty little tidbits and treats that only intimate access allows you. Will you be one of Christ's interpreters, loved one? Will you respond to his call to say, I don't even know what that means? You don't need to. He'll train you. He'll teach you. And he'll allow you access to him in your own unique way What my vision is for this church is that we would be a church of interpreters who are not misinterpreting him and his cause and his purpose and his, Lord have mercy, in essentials unity and non-essentials liberty and all things charity. What are you spending your Christian life meditating on? Essentials? The Trinity, the deity of Christ, salvation by grace through faith, the inerrancy of the Bible, the virgin birth, second coming? Or are you involved in non-essentials? The end times.
You know, the blood moon, you know.
Honey, the blood moon is not going to come from your intimacy with Jesus and conveying the truth of his gospels. The main things are the plain things. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again. And I'm a pan-tribulation. It's all going to pan out in the end. Don't waste your time on non-essentials. The adiaphora. We don't know. No one knows when he's coming back. Nobody knows. One thing we know, Jesus said, no one knows, not even the angels. So don't talk about it. It's not essential. If you're spending more hours on that, then you're floundering in the deep waters of theology where you ought not be. Is it a main thing? Is it a plain thing? No. Okay. Well, read it. There's a blessing to read the book of Revelation. Just read it. But then let's get back to Jesus and the gospel of grace and the main things. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He died for you. He's got a future for you. Do the next right thing. Let me help you. How can I pray for you? Keep it simple. Keep it main. Keep it plain. That's where he's moving. The Holy Spirit is only moving on main things and plain things. That's all he's moving in. The others are accessories, which become very cluttering after a while. Who's the fourth horn and the seventh seal? I don't know who the fourth horn is. What does that have to do with my life? Should I live another day? I don't know. I'm given 17 hours on the fourth horn. Honey, I could pick on anybody's blue law. Don't be offended, okay? But just ask yourself, is this a main thing and a plain thing? Because Christ only interpreted who the Father was. He didn't get involved in anything other than who the Father was. And as interpreters, we are only to convey the main thing and the plain thing with our tone and body language complete. Not with the message, Jesus loves you, but we say it, Jesus loves you. Hop it. You know, you do. Tone is everything. Body language is everything. Loved one, can you be his interpreter? Listen to the poet. The dear Lord's best interpreters are humble human souls. The gospel of a life like hers is more than books and scrolls. For scheme and creed, the light goes out. The saintly fact survives. The blessed master, none can doubt, revealed in holy lives. He wants to reveal himself through you as an interpreter and interpret him properly. Only the things he cares about. Let our hearts be broken by that which breaks his heart. Let his friends be our friends. Let his plans be our plans. Let his enemies become our enemies. Gladly, we want to interpret him. But we're going to have to get close to him like John did. And listen. And listen. Watch. I'm so proud of you as a people. Because I know that you people are concerned about the main things and the plain things. I know that. You're mature. You have wisdom. You say, Craig, but I don't know the Bible well. That's all right. That's all right. You can know him whom the Bible is all about. He's so sweet and precious that you'll find yourself realizing that all of a sudden you're opening your mouth and sweetness is coming out and preciousness is coming out. And all that he is interpretively coming through you. You may not have to, you don't have to know much to be kind and to be gracious and to serve others. Someone say amen. Jesus exegeted the Father in tone and body language and content, and he brought him out from the inside out. Nothing was hidden. All was revealed, and he's called us to be that. You know, I've often wondered when Jesus was 12 years of age in the temple, the Bible says, he was sitting with the leaders discussing the scriptures. He was sitting with the parrots. They had it all memorized. They memorized not only the whole scripture, but they memorized all the commentaries, but the rabbis said on the scriptures. These guys had great memories. But Jesus was the interpreter from the bosom of the Father who went right in there in the middle of their discussion. said, oh, no, no, no. Let me tell you who he is. I must be about my father's business. That's what he said. Ooh, what he told out, just to hear him speak. Remember the old song, he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh, you can leave the garden, and you can go out and interpret him to every man, woman, boy, and girl. That's all we're called to be. That's all we're called to be. Interpreters. What are the traits of his interpreters? Well, 2 Corinthians 3, 3, 2, and 3 says that we're living letters read of all men. We're written letters that people can get close to and to read the fine print. We're shining stars, Philippians 2:15 says, not merely intellectual or theological appeal, but there's a breathlessness equal to a star-studded sky when they're around you, little interpreter. They're breathing the breath of heaven. The scripture says that 2 Corinthians 2:15, we are a fragrant aroma. When you're interpreting for him, you short-circuit the intellect and you capture the heart. You're fragrant. You're attractive. You're beautiful. That's what you are, interpreter. Ephesians 5:25-33 says, as a beautiful bride, the symbol of breathtaking beauty, so you are to others when they come near you. Will you commit yourself to his cause? Close your eyes where you are right now. Can you say, Craig, I don't understand a lot of things spiritually, but I would certainly like to sign on to know Jesus intimately and have him walk with me and convey his love to me. I would love to be an epistle that would be read, a book that people could come close enough to read and say, I'm refreshed. Oh, I love you. The Lord says he loves you. You're his precious interpreter. That's what you are. And your soul will find no rest until you find that as your chief goal. I'm the interpreter of Jesus. I want to know him. I want to sense his presence. I want to know what I need to correct when he's been misrepresented in public. I want my life to be a life radiant with his love. In spite of anything else people do in his name or use his name to support, when they look at me, I want them to see a window to eternity. I want them to see a window ajar. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Just open your heart right now. He's calling for you and for me. Come home. Come. Just close your eyes where you are right now. Father, we thank you right now for the precious work you're doing in my friend's life. All their lives, they've been trained to be your interpreter. They, all the hard times, all of the sins they've committed, all of the pits we've fallen into, all of the things we've experienced are only means to sculpt us into better interpreters of your grace, better interpreters of your mercy to others. And Lord, we thank you. We pledge our lives this morning, Lord Jesus, to just enter into a new walk with you where you would shape us and frame us and cleanse us with your blood and work your heart into our hearts so that our voice, our body language, and the content that comes out of us perfectly reflects you and your goodness. Lord, forgive us for misrepresenting you. Forgive those of us who speak in your name and are presumptuous to put your name on so many things that are isn't the right tone, isn't the right content. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Clean the window so people don't see us, but they see you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Could you pass out the elements of communion right now? I'd like us to go to the table of the Lord right now. You may say, Craig, I don't really understand that. Well, the cup of juice represents the blood that he shed for us to redeem us. The bread represents his broken body that was broken on our behalf to allow us access into the Father. Isn't it beautiful to see Jesus interpreting the Father, then dying on the cross, and then bringing us together with the Father as an umpire who says, here now, I want you to meet and be together forever. So in this moment together, I always like to have a point of contact at the Lord's table. Those of you listening, you can get your elements at home. Whatever you have, piece of bread, a little bit of water, doesn't matter. It's not about the elements. It's about what's behind the elements. This is an opportunity for us to say today, Lord, forgive me in any way that I have been interpreting wrongly for you. Make me a true interpreter of your grace and your kindness. So we're going to get forgiveness today. Come on, we put God's name on a lot of stuff and a lot of attitudes and a lot of subjects that God has absolutely nothing to do. We need cleansing in Jesus' name. Amen? Because this society is tired of seeing religion. They want to see Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely. And if they ever see him, they'll never look away. But they see everything in his name that is offensive and is unimportant and insignificant. Let's not be one of those people. You know the person I want to be? I want to be the person that they say, I hate Christianity, but I love you, Craig. I have a friend in Paris, an atheist. He says, I hate Christians. I love you. Whatever you are, Craig. See, don't you want to be that one person in their life that they can't dismiss and they can't explain away? That's what you are, interpreter. That's what you are. That's good news. You're known by who loves you and by who hates you. If the common people hate you and the religious people love you, you're in trouble. If the common people love you and the religious types hate you, you're right on the money following your Lord and Savior. Come on. You can't be nice enough for everyone to like you. You need the right people to hate you and the right people to love you. Amen? He took the cup. This cup represents the blood that he shed. And he said, as often as you partake of these elements, remember what I did for you. Well, I just want us right now as we take the cup, Father, we ask forgiveness right now for ever misrepresenting you. Even in our spiritual zeal as young ones in the Lord, we sometimes get so passionate that we want to scream and yell and coerce and manipulate and control, and none of that's of your spirit, never has been, never will be. Lord, forgive us for spending so much time on non-essentials that mean absolutely nothing and become a bar for anyone ever hearing us preach of you and your gospel because we're so consumed with crazy non-essentials. Forgive us, Lord. Help us come back to the main things and the plain things that matter. Help us become interpreters, Lord, that are clearly speaking and telling out your heart for all. Forgive us in Jesus' name. Partake here. Lord, forgive me for misrepresenting you. Forgive me for anything I've done, Lord, that has been not a proper representation and interpreter. There should be an instrument of grace in your hands, Lord. Forgive us right now, Lord. And he took the bread and broke it. Let's break that. You know, it took a violence striking his body to bring a full redemption to us. He said, my blood cleanses you of all sin. But the bread represents the healing you need in your body, the healing you need in your emotions, the healing you need in your tangled thoughts, in your mind. Jesus died on the cross for every bit of you, and every bit of you brought to the Father. Your memories, your inner healing issues, your sins, the self-scars you've even caused yourself, and self-delusion. His body was broken for you, knowing that you would need a complete healing. Let's partake. Lord, right now, cleanse us and heal us emotionally. Heal us mentally, Lord. Heal us physically. Let your people become fully healthy interpreters of your gospel and your truth. Let Bethel be a church that radiates with safety and humility through the lives of men and women, boys and girls who are now committed interpreters of your cause. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give him some praise right there. Let's pass these elements back. Come on around, Dennis. Praise his holy name.
Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and attention. And if you want to find out about further resources, go to drcraigjohnson.net. If you have a prayer request, you can leave it there. And also, we would encourage you, if this ministry is a blessing to you, we survive solely on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. So there's a donate page, drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you and yours.